Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and happy Saturday to you today. This is Lorena Bathy and I'm here to talk about all sorts of stuff about life. But today we're going to talk about what being alone can teach us. Alone, that very scary word. I know some people don't have a problem with this. And if you do, awesome for you. My thumb is up and I'm happy for you. But many, many people have an issue with being alone. And why? Like, what is it? Why are we so afraid to be alone? When I was a kid, I was an only child. So I was instantly alone, except for my parents and their friends. So I was around a lot of adults growing up, which made me, in a lot of ways, it was a great thing. I learned to be a little more mature and really pay attention to people and kind of listen. But it also was very frightening because being alone to me meant that that nobody wanted me. Or that nobody loved me. And I know that seems a bit extreme, but that's kind of what comes out of people's fear of being alone. It's that they're not worthy, that they're not lovable, that others don't want to be with them and there must be something wrong with them. And so that's kind of the biggest aspect of why alone and being alone seems to really kind of get to us. So I want to look at that today. I want to look at if you have that issue with being alone, if you are concerned that being alone to you means that you are unloved, then we can look at that. I want to tell you that this a fear of being alone lasted pretty much all my life. It wasn't until really in the last year that I've gotten super comfortable with being by myself and in truth, prefer it a lot of the time, which I never in my wildest dreams would have thought would be true coming from me. But even when I was married and in, you know, raising my kids and everything, first of all, when you have a family, and I know for people who have families, you're thinking, I'm never going to be alone again. And that may be true, but finding time for you to be alone is really important. So we're going to look at all those aspects today. But when I was in my, after my divorce, my first marriage ended in divorce, I decided that I really wanted to, that whole time period was a change of me and like figuring out who I wanted to be, what I wanted to do, how I was going to live my life for the rest of my life. I'd lost my mother to cancer. My marriage had broken up. And I just really felt like this was a crossroads for me. It was time for me to really just like go somewhere and figure this out and be different, or I was going to end up in a place I didn't want to be. And so one of the things I did challenge myself to do was I kind of ran away from home, and I did it for two reasons. One is I wanted to learn how to be alone by myself and be okay with that and be enjoy it, really kind of enjoy my own presence. And also to face a fear of doing something that was frightening, to go to a foreign country by myself. It was a double fear, actually, because being by myself was also a fear. And so I did it. I mean, if you're going to learn how to be alone, going to Italy is not the worst place to do it, people. I'm just saying. They have gelato and there's hot guys and it is a beautiful place and the food is amazing. So, I mean, first choice was pretty good. But what I learned about myself was pretty extraordinary. It was one of the defining moments of my life. Going somewhere by myself was just incredible. Was I scared? Of course, I was absolutely scared. Did it feel uncomfortable? Yes, it felt very uncomfortable. And that's one of the biggest aspects of why we don't try to be alone. It feels uncomfortable. We are not okay with being alone in ourselves and our thoughts. And that's another aspect of the aloneness, because when we're alone, oh my God, then we start thinking, and oh my God, it's a rabbit hole and it's fearful, and then you get into a place you don't want to be in. So that idea of being alone equals being in our head, equals bad thoughts, equals disaster. So all the framework around being alone is not a shining light of joy and hope. It's fear and worry and apprehension and nervousness and unworthiness. These are all negative emotions tied to this aspect. And so being alone is a thing we run from in any way, shape, or form. So I traveled to Italy and I spent time walking around everywhere by myself, and I didn't speak the language fluently, so it wasn't like I just could start a conversation with anyone. And it was a 10-day trip, and I started in Venice and I went to Florence, and then I ended up in Rome. And by the time I got to Rome, not going to lie, I needed to talk to somebody. I was going nuts, and I ended up having that occur, and I was able to meet some really nice ladies and we had some conversation. It was great. But the thing I came back with from that trip was, I am so powerful. I'm so powerful in my ability to be with myself. And it was really life-changing for me that not only had I gotten across a foreign country by myself completely safe, but I had also had incredible experiences, met amazing people, and really got to know myself for the first time in my life. And that's what being alone does. It teaches you how to get to know yourself for the first time in your life. And that is extraordinary. Okay, so but let's look at this for us. Why are we so afraid of this? Well, I touched on the idea of in the silence comes the thoughts. But that can be also a positive thing. You can turn that to a positive thing. Because a lot of times we're so busy and we're running around or we're taking care of other people or we're doing something for other things or we're working or we're just keeping ourselves so busy that we're never alone in our thoughts. And while that can be okay when we're trying not to think about something, it also does not give us the advantage and the opportunity to really figure out who we are, what we want, and where we want to go. See, silence implies fear of what we're going to hear. But if you go into a place of being alone and being silent with the real intention of figuring out what I want, you know, what is working in my life, what are you really missing? And you start paying attention to the thoughts and the feelings in your body while you're alone, that can be incredibly cathartic and incredibly powerful as you decide to move or level up, as I call it, to the next place in your life. To do that, to level up to the next place in your life, you cannot do it without being alone. It's impossible. I don't care what anyone tells me. You have to learn how to be alone, and you have to figure out that next step to level yourself up in humanness by being alone and figuring out what you want. So here's what happens when we're alone. If you can get past the first few minutes of fear that runs through our head and all those tapes that are telling us no one loves you and you're unworthy and if you're alone then there's something wrong with you. If you can get past that, which is not always easy, but if you can push yourself past those thoughts, what happens is you come into this place where you kind of settle into yourself. And meditation is a really good way to get there, a guided meditation. You know, those of you that go, I can't meditate, I have too much stuff in my head, I'm always thinking about something, I'm with you. I do guided meditation most of the time because I'm the same way and I like to be kind of led somewhere. And that is like one of the first baby steps into being alone and really like knowing that alone is good is by meditating and by letting yourself get to a place where you are by yourself and you are focusing on yourself. That's another aspect of aloneness that is kind of detrimental, is that it is being alone is kind of seen as being selfish. Like you're only worrying about you. And I don't know where this concept of worrying about yourself became a negative. It is not a negative to take care of yourself, people. I mean, exclamation point that if you're taking notes. It is not a negative to take care of yourself. You know, I mean, I go back to this adage over and over again, but when you get on a plane and you're flying somewhere and they say, hey, if there's problems and that, you know, little mouthpiece thing falls out of the top of the plane, put yours on first before you help somebody else. And we don't do this. Like we run around like crazy people all the time, taking care of other people and dealing with other people's stuff or dealing with the stress of our lives. And we never take care of ourselves. And we never put that oxygen mask on, breathe in deep and fill ourselves with what we really need. And that's what being alone can do for you. And that is not selfish. That is self-care. And so while you're afraid of that being aloneness, you should actually be running towards it with your arms open because it gives you that time to get down to yourself, to the core of your being, to shut out the voices and the noise, and to just figure out who you are. I know that's a frightening thought as well. Think we know who we are until we actually get quiet. And that's why guided meditation can really help. YouTube is phenomenal. I love the internet for so many things. I don't like it for others, but I really love it for so many things. And that is the tools it gives you at your fingertips at any moment. So when I say being alone, I'm not saying you have to go in your house and get in lotus position and turn on some incense music and some fire up the incense and sit there for hours on end, contemplating your navel. I mean, it's 5 minutes in your car if that's all you have. You start snatching those moments of aloneness for yourself so that you can build yourself up And actually, what you have to realize too is the universe will give you the aloneness time that you need that will then allow you to build on it and get you healthy to the point where you enjoy that 5 minutes of aloneness in your car listening to a guided meditation and think, I might want to do that again. And then you do it again, and then you're like, 5 minutes was awesome. Maybe 10 minutes would be great. And then you do 10 minutes. And so this is how you build yourself. And what happens when you go on this guided meditation of aloneness is that you start to realize there are things that you are not handling in your life. There are things that you need to look at and you want to think about and you need to address. And that's where the work turns awesome. Okay? What it does when we get alone is we get to look at the deep down parts of ourselves. We look and we see our blocks. What's preventing us from getting where we want to go? What's preventing us from moving to the next place in our lives? What have we stopped in our lives? We have to really get to look at that aspect of ourselves that is maybe the hindrance or the obstacle that we put in our own way because we are afraid. Okay, here's the big F word, fear. Fear is, you know, fear has a lot of positive aspects to it, but it also can be one of the biggest hindrances to us really growing in our life. It can stagnate us in a place where we never move out of it if we are afraid. You know, the idea is that, you know, courage is moving forward or acting in the face of fear or why you are afraid. And so you have to take that courageousness and put that into your own life of being alone. Yes, you're going to pant. You're going to look at your watch and go, God, 5 minutes is so long. You're going to want out because you have to start looking at those things that are really, you've been just kind of pushing them away and not paying attention to them. What we also need to look at, too, is when we get alone and we get quiet, is we have to start looking and trusting that we are okay as we are. There's such a push in our society to always be something more, have more money, get a better car, get a bigger house, look better, lose weight, eat better, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's incessant. It's on us all the time. The stress levels of what we aren't is so powerful that it is beyond ability sometimes to kind of get past it all. And getting alone makes us get to that quiet place and kind of take a breath and realize, you know, I'm okay. I'm okay here. In fact, it feels kind of good to not really think about everybody else, not have someone looking at me or judging me or making me think I need to be something else than I am. That being here in this moment and as I am right now is okay. So yesterday morning I had this huge epiphany. And you know, those are an amazing thing and they don't happen all the time. But for me, what I learned about myself is that I didn't really trust myself. I thought I did. You know, I was doing all these amazing things and I, you know, went and became a teacher and I got my own apartment and, you know, I'm kind of feeling really good about myself. But I was also very fearful. And so I was sitting by myself and I made time yesterday to sit by myself and be quiet because I wanted to really kind of get in tune with who I was for a little while because I've been so busy. And it was like, wow, this huge revelation of the fact that I was worried and fearful about things happening and money and could I do this because I didn't trust myself. And that opened up an entirely huge door. And it just took me down this place where I realized that this aspect of not trusting myself has been the key reason why I have not gotten where I wanted to get. And how did I find this out? By being alone, by being with myself. See, people, here's the thing. We are really good at taking the focus off ourselves. We are really good at finding someone else's problems to fix or someone else to take care of or something else to do that takes us out of ourselves because that's easier to handle. It's easier to handle someone else's problem. Oh, you should do this, this, and this. It's easy to take care of someone else. Oh, I'm sorry, you're not well. Let me help you. It's easier to do something else. Oh, you need me to do that? Oh, no problem. I can do it. I'll put overtime in. It's easier to do all that. It may be what you think stresses you out, but that's not really what stresses you out. Work on all those things because you really don't want to be alone with yourself and figure out what you want. Figure out what you need. Figure out your fears and how do I combat them. It's interesting, isn't it? Doing more isn't necessarily doing more. Doing more is evading what you really don't want to face, which is yourself. Which is being alone. Okay? So these are the things that when you get alone, you can start saying no to things. You can start not putting everyone else before yourself and making sure that you are a priority in your life. Oh my God. I know. Step back. Just take that in for a second. make yourself a priority in your life. That's not right. That's not right. You can't be a priority. That makes you selfish. That doesn't mean, I'm not saying, hey, yo, go do anything you want and forget anybody else. That's not what I'm saying. When you make yourself a priority, it means that you make your mental health, your physical health, your spiritual health most important, so that you have that oxygen mask on and you're breathing in deep, so that then when you need to take care of somebody else, when you have to be there for someone else, when you got to get something done, you have the strength and the purpose and the wherewithal to do it. Okay? So this is the thing about being alone. What it ends up doing when we finally stop and sit in it is feeding us. And not only does it feed us, but it grows us. And not only does it grow us, but it expands us. And then, amazingly, being alone becomes the thing we want to do the most. So, okay. I'm telling you, meditate. Yeah, okay. And some of you are like, I can't meditate. Yeah, you can, but you're fighting against it. But that's another podcast. What do you do? How can you be alone? Okay, so if you can't sit on and meditate and be quiet with yourself, if you're not there yet, we're going to baby step it. Let's baby step it, okay? If we're going to baby step it, then I want you to find a time to be alone. Okay, if you have a family and you have little kids and you're busy all the time, this is going to be a little more challenging for you. But there's these things that they call babysitters. And you get the phone number and you say, hey, would you come and take care of my children for like an hour or so, maybe two? And those people come and you pay them a significant, you know, maybe an expensive amount of fee, but it's worth it. And you leave and you go be alone. I know. Isn't it amazing? It's this incredible new phenomena. You are worth, what, $20 it may cost for 2 hours of freedom from your children so you can take a breath and go do something. And then what do? Well, that's entirely up to you. My suggestion would be that you don't like run to the mall, but if that's where you zen out, then go for the mall. I would suggest that you take something a little differently. Perhaps go to one of those studios where you can paint things. You know, those little pottery places you can do painting and just paint for 2 hours. Or go to a place and take a walk. Or just go on a drive and listen to music and just be in the moment. Or perhaps start finding a craft that you really like to do. I mean, crafts and things like that. Why do you think people do all that? It's a chance to kind of zen your mind out. You're just doing something that doesn't take you a whole lot of brain power. You don't have to really, you know, strategize and think. It puts your mind in a place that's kind of meditative, really. And that's why people do these kinds of things. So, you know, maybe you just get a book and go to a coffee store and get yourself a coffee and read a book by yourself. I know all of these things seem frivolous and they seem extravagant, in some way selfish, but they're not, people. They're not. They're necessary. Listen, there's that whole, I know you've all heard this. We come into this world alone and we go out of this world alone. And that's exactly true. But what we don't do in between is like we shove as much information and people and things and events and stuff into the middle so that when we get to the end and we are alone, there's fear around the idea of leaving this planet because we think we're going to be alone while we do it. And that may or may not be the case. But what I want us all to kind of get to in this half hour is to look at alone and maybe not see it as your enemy, but see it as your friend, because I'm here to tell you, people, it is your friend. Okay, now I'm going to talk about people for just a minute. I'm going to talk about people that want to be in relationships with other people. This is an absolute fact, underlined 5 exclamation points. You cannot be in a healthy relationship with anyone else until you are in a healthy relationship with yourself. I know you're like ready to turn off the phone. You may have already hung up. I hope you come back. But this is the truth, people. When I first wrote my first book, Happy Beginnings, How I Became My Own Fairy Godmother, I wrote it when I was going through a divorce and lost my mother and just going through all these changes in my life and trying to figure out what the hell I was supposed to do next. And one of the things I realized during that whole process and working with other women and working with other divorced women and kind of, you know, speaking and meeting a lot of people was I realized that you really have to be able to, like, this is like your criteria. This should be your yardstick for relationships, especially, you know, relationships. And when I say relationships, I don't mean like your children. I mean, romantic relationships. that if you can't sit on a on your couch on a Saturday night by yourself, watching something on TV or doing something, and you are not content in that, then you are not ready to be in a relationship. What? What am I saying? The only way that someone can do that is if they're totally cool with who they are. If they know who they are, they're happy with who they are, and in that sense, know what they're looking for in the partner. Because if you don't know yourself, then how can you know what you need or want? You can't. What you're going to end up doing if you don't get to this place where you're okay on a Saturday night by yourself, what you're going to end up doing is keep picking the same people, keep doing the same thing over and over, keep having the same relationships. It's just going to happen. You have to get content with yourself. You have to get to know yourself. If you don't know yourself, then how do you know what you really need or want? It's impossible. So this should be your yardstick. This should be your yardstick on whether or not you're ready to be in a relationship with anyone. If you're coming out of a divorce or a loss, if you've been widowed or if you become a widower or a widow, you really need to figure this out, because if you've been in long-term relationships, and I'm talking like decades of time in a marriage, you don't really know, I mean, you may know yourself, but you don't know yourself alone. You know yourself with that person. And if you're with someone for that long, then that person becomes part of your body, as if like you had another arm. And so you really have to redefine who you are and decide things about yourself. If you're coming out of divorce, okay, people, you're hurt. You're battered, you're bruised. I don't care whether you're happy to be out of the marriage or not. You're coming out battered and bruised, and you need time to heal. That's so vital. I can't even tell you. I've been through this. I've learned it. And that is the one thing that people who come out of divorces, this is one thing that happens. You think, I'm not worthy. We didn't work out. It must be my fault. And what you will end up doing is thinking, I'm going to go find somebody else because they'll make me feel better. And that's one of the biggest aspects you have to deal with. No, they don't make you feel better. You make you feel better. You, people coming out of divorce, more than anybody on this planet, need to figure out who you are. You have to get right with being okay. And you, more than ever, need the yardstick of, if I can't sit on the couch by myself on a Saturday night and feel good about myself, you, more than ever, need to do this before you look for a new relationship. Okay? It's hard to be alone. We miss things. We miss intimacy. You know, for us, people whose kids have grown up and are now moving on in their life, that's a real difficult part if you're alone. If that your kids were your focus and now they are now moving on in their life as they should, being alone is incredibly hard because you've spent your time focusing on them and now you don't have anything to focus on because the only thing to focus on is you. And so I'm going to tell you that instead of looking at this as some challenge you can't overcome, you're going to want to look at this as a gift to level yourself up. It's time now. Just think about this. It's time now for you to be the priority in the world. It's time now to figure out what you want. You've spent all your energy lovingly and caringly giving to your children, and you've given them all the tools they need to go create a life. Now you need to let go of them and let them do it and turn around and look at yourself. What have you not done for yourself in all this time you've been giving to somebody else? What have you not gotten? What things have you not done? And figure that out and decide that that's something important. Not only is it important, it's vital. Because you now have you for the rest of your life. Your children are going to go do their own thing. They're going to make their mistakes. They're not going to call you. They're going to be busy. They're going to have their own lives. They're going to date people you don't like. They're going to marry people you love. They're going to be in their own world because that's what we're supposed to. And while we want to be part of their lives, we also have to take a step back and figure out, what does that look like? They're no longer your children that you are in charge of. They are human beings out in the world figuring out their own messes and excitements and rewards and lives. And you can't be in the middle of that. So you've got to turn around, take 5 steps back, shut your door, and figure out what you want next. And trust me on this, people. It's hard. Okay, anything worth doing is hard. Any change is difficult. Going from being someone who needs to be submerged in noise at all times to being quiet is probably akin to breaking a cigarette habit, because we get addicted to other people and noise and things distracting us from our own selves. We're addicted to that. Look at our phones. Look at our computers. Look at our televisions. We're constantly having noise going on. Being quiet and getting quiet is akin to, you know, hell for a lot of people. And I get that. But you got to change your mindset. Okay, so I've given you all this information. Now, how do you start? Well, I'm not going to give you all this information and not give you a way to start. I want you to start small. And I know that this can be something that you just decide not to do. But just, you know, for 2 weeks, okay, that's not that long. It's 14 days. For 2 weeks, I want you to give yourself 5 minutes of quiet. And I don't know how that looks for you. I don't know your lives. That could be in your car. That could be in the morning before you get out of bed. That could be, you know, at the end of the day when everyone else has gone to bed and you just sit on the couch. I don't know what that looks like for you. You have to figure that out. That's part of this whole process. And I want you to take that 5 minutes. And in that 5 minutes, I want you to just be and breathe. I know that sounds simple, and it is. It's that simple. Just breathe. I don't want you to focus on anything else but breathing. Listen to your breathe. And if you have to say breathe in, breathe out for 5 minutes straight, then that's what you do. But get to that place where you have made 5 minutes. Set a timer on your phone. Set your timer on the phone, and do not stop until that timer goes off. 5 minutes, people. This may be very difficult for a lot of you. 5 minutes may feel like 5 hours. This may be super simple for a lot of you. You may be like, oh, dig it, love it. Okay, great. Then you can move yourself up to 10 minutes the next day and build if you wish, if you have the time. But for those of you that are going to struggle with this, I want you to just breathe for 5 minutes. Listen to pretty music. No words, just instrumentals. Listen to pretty music and breathe for 5 minutes. And after you're done with that, I want you to write down how you feel. All the feelings. The good, the bad, the ugly. And this is what you do for 2 weeks. After the 2 weeks, I want you to go back and read everything you wrote. And I want you to start seeing patterns. I want you to start picking out the things that strike you. I want you to start really kind of understanding this is who you are. At the end of the 2 weeks, you're going to be changed. I guarantee it. There's no doubt in my mind you'll be changed. And my hope is that once you've started opening this door, cracking it a bit, and maybe looking inside, that you'll start to be understanding of what it is and what it offers you, and that you'll allow yourself to kind of give yourself that gift, put that oxygen mask on yourself, and start to figure out how powerful being alone is. What it brings you is peace and contentment and health, mental, spiritual, physical health. These are all powerful big things that you can get in 5 minutes a day. That you can get by validating yourself, by honoring who you are, by looking inward and deciding what you want for your life. These are all powerful things and a gift that is monumental. So, alone, it doesn't have to be a scary word. You don't have to be frightened of it. Take the 5 minutes for 2 weeks, be in silence, breathe, and take note of what you feel after you're done. Go back after 2 weeks and read it. That's your homework for today. All right, so next week we're going to talk about something kind of interesting. I heard somebody saying this, and it just kind of struck me, and it's like, I'm dying because I'm surviving. And so I want to talk about that idea of, are you dying of survival? Like, is your survival mode actually destroying you? So we're going to look at that. What does it mean to survive? What are you doing to survive? And then how is it really a detrimental thing to just survive and not thrive? Okay, so that's what we're going to look at next week. I'm super excited to be doing this again. You can always reach me at lmbathy@gmail.com. And I'm going to be here every Saturday with new ideas. There's also a bunch of other old podcasts on my site, so feel free to go back and browse and see if there's something that strikes you. As always, I wish you love and peace, and go be alone.